Hello, I'm Samantha.
And I'm Christian.
And this is Going There. Welcome back, girlies. Do you like our new intro?
Bum, 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 bum.
Question mark.
Our new intro.
Yeah, we were quite honestly cringing at our old intro.
You have been cringing way longer than I have been cringing.
Ooh, the way that I was cringing. And you know what? We've just evolved as people, as podcast hosts, what podcast intros used to look and sound like.
It just felt really cheesy
for us.
It felt very cheesy. It felt really bubbly, which we're bubbly people.
Well, no.
It felt more like it automated.
Felt fake.
Yes.
Fake. Like, yep. Bubbly is different.
Scripted.
We even like a little bit of cheese.
Scripted.
Like, going there, girlies. Like, clearly I'm not walking around being like, hi, girlies. Like, it's all a bit of a bit. But the intro was beyond a bit. Like, it was like these Christian girls.
So we're trying something new.
Yeah. Anyways, we are back. We were just having a little chat about life.
You know, guys, Christian has returned to work.
Christian has returned to work.
Well, yeah, me. I'm talking about myself.
In third person. Okay.
Yep. I've returned to work full time and it's kind of a bit overwhelming. It's in the best way. I love my job and love my work, but then I also love my kids and love order in my home and setting my family up for success. And I feel like those two things are colliding. We're one week in.
Yeah, so, I was just telling Christian, like, I genuinely, like, knowing her day to day intimately, like, I can't comprehend it. It's just a lot. And then to be sitting here, like, chatting about in-depth stuff on a podcast, it's like, you okay in there? Like, I'm a little like, can we get a mental health check on this girl right here?
Yeah, all rawness and realness out. I'm like pumping before we just start this episode at our podcast studio. I'm like, what is life?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're just
that
doing it.
That seems like the least chaotic part of it all to me, honestly.
If anything, it's just restful. I mean, a granola bar and hanging.
But I don't know. I mean, to catch up on life, like, I feel like we can't really go into all that because we don't want us to just...
Oh, yeah. It'd be like way too long.
It'd be too long.
I mean, it's busy and chaotic, but it's springtime and it's fun. And I mean, it really is like a sweet little season. I'm coming to you overwhelmed if you want the raw real.
Yeah.
I keep saying I'm mentally overwhelmed and I'm physically fatigued and tired.
And I would say like, to
it's
that,
it's just the combination of
those. Of course you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I told you before, like, if you weren't those things this week, I'd be concerned.
Yeah. Like, are you a robot?
Yeah. Or are you a robot?
Are you
truly
lying to me?
Yeah. You have a 3-month-old, all the things. But
how are you, Samantha?
I think I'm good.
You had a fun week. You had a week of like some productivity, some fun.
I had, and we'll talk about it in our episode today because we're talking about idols. But the way it feels so good to me to like check things off list and get phone calls made and get home repair things scheduled and estimates and done. Like, it just felt so good and I needed a week like that. But again, like, I think I idolize that too much sometimes. So I was kind of in myself being like, wow, I don't want to feel so good from just like getting stuff done this week, like as good as I did. But I mean,
dagger to the heart for me. Okay. You know, I struggle with that hardcore.
I know.
And you know what? We have talked about momming and all the things. And I know I've probably said this before, but I don't know on the podcast. And I'm just going to say it to all the like moms who stay at home full time. And that is your job. I just really don't know when you guys get those things done.
Yeah.
Like, I am on maternity leave. And I literally kept saying, I said it about podcast stuff. I said it about personal things. I'm like, I'll deal with that when I'm in the office again. I'll deal with it in the office. Because I literally can't have the mental space to, like, be dealing with my kids. They're perfectly down and napping. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can get on the phone call and call the dentist and check in on that bill that, like, you know, I need to correct or whatever it may be. Like, it's just, like, these weird admin things. I'm like, it's a full-time job to be an admin for your family at home.
Well, I think you just adjust to it, like you said. Like, you would, if you did that full-time, you would realize like, oh, okay, I will literally put on my schedule like Tuesday during nap, I'm sitting down and like making the phone calls. Now the thing, how the story goes is that sometimes the nap on Tuesday doesn't go. And so then you're like, well, I'll try that on Wednesday. Like there's so many things that seem so minuscule that I'm like, that would take 5 seconds to do. But in reality, like finding a time where my kids are not going to be screaming so that I can actually like talk to the lady to get the appointment scheduled is
it's not even just get like, only on the phone. It's like, I want to be in front of my computer. I want to be sitting on my patient portal. I want to like be able to have a pen and paper to write down the things that they're telling me, the claim number on that. Like, I'm just like, how do you do that? Because like, I am so not a multitasker in that way. I am like, I want all my attention here or all my attention.
It's something that I'm trying to actually stop doing so much of, but I think something I'm really good at, and our friend Alex, like, and not to like out her, but she shares this openly, like something she's trying to work on is like not feeling like, and I relate to this, that's why I'm sharing about her too. I just like how she said it, like how she'll get in these modes where she feels like she needs to spend every second of spare time. Like if you pull up to the preschool pickup from school 5 minutes early.
Can
it's
I
like
place my grocery.
You're not going to just sit there and like sit. You're no. going to try to like be so productive. And so I think we've both gotten like her and I relate to her. You've gotten really good at like, oh, I can do that here and do this then. But sometimes then I think it makes you so checked out from what you're doing and you mm-hmm. can become such a like over multitasker that I'm like, you know what? I actually just want to like sit here right now and not be worried about that other thing or I don't know.
Oh no. There was like, I think I've said this before, but there was this like huge management book that came out like when I was early on in my career. And it talked about like, if you can do something, I think it was like, if you can do something under 10 seconds, then like take care of it mm-hmm. right then. And it was like this, it was the name of some theory.
I know
just
that's
like,
a true thing in responding to like emails or texts
yeah.
or like.
And so again, yeah. like, again, we talk about the tension of those things. I'm like, there is a lot of value in that. Of yeah. Like, yes, if you think about like, oh, I need to like tell my mom whatever, I can text her all fast in that second when I thought about it. But I'm also, there's like a ton of value in a lot of like humility mm-hmm. and just, yeah, like
being
it
like,
kind of puts
wait.
You in your right place when you can say like, no, I can just sit here. And as Christians, I would be challenged to say, like, you probably should just sit there and maybe think about God or pray yeah. or all the yeah. things you so, could do with the 10 seconds instead
it's
of being
all,
productive.
It's all a learning. Ugh.
But we've jumped
nothing
right
else
in.
To work. Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about idols today.
Yeah.
So one of your idols, it's confession
for
time.
For sure is that. I wrote down a list of them to share. But ooh. No, I think idols is interesting because as I was prepping it for it, we had both been talking about it. It's so like general and it's so hard, I think, when I was like writing my notes to really go deep, deep, deep on because I just think it looks really different for every single person. And there's such a like wide range, even in my life, as I've reflected on like, what do I idolize? Like, there are things that I can clearly trace back from, like something I wanted to talk about later on in the episode is like taking maybe a more surface level looking idol and kind of digging in deeper to where that forms from. And I do think that there's times where it's this deep rooted, sinful thing I'm idolizing, but sometimes there's also just like tiny little things throughout my days. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's hard to kind of like generalize and say like, well, all idols stem from like this sin or this mm-hmm. desire or whatever. I think there's just a range of them all. And mm-hmm. so it's hard to kind of like, to me, be like, how are we going to like present this? But we all know we have them. We all know that they're bad. Let's chat about it.
Well, yeah, I love this conversation because it's kind of been on our like little queue for a while of like, mm-hmm. should we talk about this? And I think like any of our conversations, it takes us a while to like wrap our thoughts around it. But why I love it so much is I think the most tempting parts of most idols today in our like Western culture, especially in like Christianity culture, is like most of our idols are good things. Most
I would say
of them
I would argue that all idols in our lives as Christians are good things.
Yeah. And so I think that's what's hard about it is like we justify and we really like rationalize mm-hmm. why these things are okay. When you really actually put it up to like the definition of an idol, mm-hmm. then it's like, no, this is actually like yeah. a lot of my identity. It's a lot of my worth. It's a lot of my fulfillment when I am told to only get that from God and I'm actually finding it all these other places.
So this is a good time to say, like, you probably have the definition of an idol. Do you?
I have how someone defines it. Because, like, yes, I looked at the definition, but
did
I like
you have
this
how John
too.
Piper describes it?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so we literally both Googled and clicked on the very first Desiring God article.
I listened to a
up.
Couple podcasts. Okay. And it was in a podcast.
Okay, well, he... Yes, that's what I was going to say is like an idol by definition biblically is something not inherently bad, but anything placed in God's spot. But Christian, do you want to say how John Piper describes
it? I'm now curious if we have the same one.
I'm sure it is.
Because John Piper, if you don't know him, you should look him up. It's great. But he defined it as anything we come to rely on for some blessing, guidance, or help in place of a wholehearted reliance on the true and living God.
Are you
God.
Sure you didn't get that from the blog post? Because I literally verbatim had
it
written. Oh, okay. So maybe it was a transcripted
podcast. It was a
podcast. Yeah. I have the same definition, literally probably transcripted blog post. But yeah, I love how he said that because...
Wait, say it again. Because I think people need to hear
it. He says anything... Well, I condensed it. Anything we rely on for blessing, help, or guidance in place of God. But you had a little bit
more. Yeah, he said in place
it.
Of a wholehearted reliance on true and living God.
Right. So I think when you put it that way, most of the time our idols in life, I think what makes an idol so tricky is oftentimes we don't realize it's an idol. And mm-hmm. so that's what we kind of want to talk about. Or at least for me, I think something like if you were addicted to alcohol or you, like the more outward things, like yes, they can be idols, but you're probably actively working against those things or like recognizing that they're an issue. Maybe not, but mm-hmm. I would say where idols get tricky in a lot of our lives are it's these like really good looking things wrapped up into these like really pretty nice, neat bows that we have then placed on such a high pedestal above the place that God should be. And I think it's really hard to be honest about what those things are, because there are some things in my life that can tend to become idols, but honestly, if I'm in a healthy place, like, are really not. Mm-hmm. And then there's things that, wow, I would have never thought I was idolizing that, but then I'm seeing some sin come out and I'm digging deeper and realizing, like, wow, I've really been idolizing X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. I remember as a kid, something that stood out to me was I think I've maybe shared this before. It's like at my little like children's like church thing, and they were trying to explain idols, and they like held up a soccer ball and they were like, what is this? Okay. And we're all like, soccer ball. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, who loves soccer? And you know, you had certain kids that were like, I play competitive soccer. It's like my favorite sport. It's the best thing. And it basically was showing like, soccer is a really good thing. You can have so much fun. You can be like really good at it. But if this becomes higher than God, it becomes an idol. And it's one of those things as a kid that like stands out to me. And I'm like, it's such a good way to put it, because it's this constant check of these good things. Are they taking this heart position in my life that I am then working for those things to fulfill me and not, mm-hmm. God is kind of another way, mm-hmm. I like to think about it.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked the definition of John so much, is like, yeah. The blessing, guidance, or help. Like, what am I looking to for a blessing, mm-hmm. more than I am? Like, am I looking to that thing more than I'm trusting that God will bless me?
Yeah.
Or my life in God is secure because, mm-hmm. he has it under control? Or what am I looking to, guidance, rather than understanding like, no, God, you have a perfect plan, yeah. for my life, that you are true and holy and you have already ordained that for, mm-hmm. me, you know? And so I think when you really break down each one of those things as he defined it, that's really helpful for me, because I think in the Bible, it's confusing when you talk about idols. Cause like in the Bible, we see the picture of idols in like a calf, like a, mm-hmm. golden calf.
They had like physical things, yes. that they idolized.
And so then when you take that now to the Western world, in the Bible, they don't really talk much about idolatry other than these like statues, mm-hmm. you know, these things people would build. But the whole concept, there's tons of verses in Daniel or Psalms or Thessalonians. There's these things about where these people are talking to the people who are building idols, saying, hey, like the actual issue with you building this, mm-hmm. idol is you're actually like worshiping the creation rather than the creator, that you're actually, mm-hmm. making the creator less than by thinking that that thing can fulfill you, or that that thing could be ultimate for you, or that thing could be bring you blessing rather than God. Mm-hmm. And so,
hey, going there, girls. We hope you're loving today's episode. We just have a quick favor. If you don't mind leaving us a 5-star rating and review, whether you listen on Apple or Spotify, you can just click that little 5 stars. Or if you're on Apple, leave a little review. And that is seriously such an easy way to help other people find Going There. And we so appreciate it. Now let's get back to our conversation.
I think that's what's like really confusing, that in now our Western world, it does look like, you know, when I really think about it, I'm like, oh gosh, one of my idols is like just my ability to like control and make plans, mm-hmm. that I like really idolize that I actually think that that will be more fruitful or good, right. for my family, when really like, no, that's not at all. And so when you break it down like that, it's hard, because I think it's easy to think like, I don't really have any idols, until it really becomes an issue for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I want to talk about first, kind of as we're diving into like, if you're sitting there thinking like, well, what are my idols? I mean, I would say most of us can identify a few things, because even if you don't name it as an idol, you can say like, this is, to me, like patterns of sin go hand in hand with what we idolize. Mm-hmm. Because when you're idolizing something, you're misplacing what that position that thing has in our life. And so then it breeds sin. So, mm-hmm. that's a good place to start too. It's like, well, where do I sin? How do I sin? And like, why am I doing that? But I think the number one thing, or like the three things I wrote down as like I've tried to identify or like work through idols, is like number one, identifying them, and number two, praying about them. And I actually think those things can be interchangeable, because, mm-hmm. if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't really know what my idols are, it's like, well, one place to start would be asking God to reveal them to you, mm-hmm. because I definitely think that he wants to answer in questions of that. Like, will you reveal sin to me? Like, reveal where I'm idolizing other things in my life, where you want to be in that place. And so those two things kind of go hand in hand with, mm-hmm. me. And so like, if we don't identify things, this is true of any problem in our life, like how are we going to fix it or realign things? Or I kind of wrote down like setting up boundaries and practices to help keep those things in their rightful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think with anything, like even as you say those things, I'm like, okay, gosh, like how would I put that in my life? Like, mm-hmm. I was going to take that, and I would say one of those things would be like health of my family, mm-hmm. that if I really had to break it down, like that is something that I put on a pedestal and I say like, God, you are good and worthy of my praise if my family is healthy and well, mm-hmm. and safe.
And down to maybe even when like I had a day 2 days ago where like And yesterday, oh, my kid woke up sick mm-hmm. and I ended up having to cancel plans and take it to the doctor and like spend my day mm-hmm. yesterday texting sitters. Like it could be with big health issues or even down to the ways that we're like annoyed another time that our kid gets a stomach bug.
Well, what I was going
to
say is like, I'm like, I only got to that conclusion of like, that actually is an idol for me because the moment my kid gets sick,
yep.
I am so mad that my day went awry.
So annoyed. Yeah.
I am so frustrated. I'm either frustrated because it was like a small little cold and now my kid can't go to school and my whole day is a mess, or I'm frustrated because I'm like, oh my gosh, what if everyone else in my house gets mm-hmm. sick? What if we all then, you know, I spiral out of control.
Yep.
And so I'm like, I see my sin. Something came out of my control. Then I'm freaking out and I'm spiraling out of control. And therefore I now know, wow, I idolize health of my family mm-hmm. that I do. Maybe I didn't think that consciously, but I thought that subconsciously that health for my family is an idol.
Yeah, I wrote down questions that I've asked myself or like I kind of was going backwards of like, here's my idols and mm-hmm. like, how can I put those into categories? So I wrote down the questions of like, what do I numb with? Like mm-hmm. if I am kind of like you're weak Christian, like mm-hmm. you're just like spiraling. Like, well, okay, well mm-hmm. then what do I do to like make myself feel a little bit better? And like, I can list out those things or what keeps me from spending mm-hmm. time with God? Like, I think in Bible study this week, we had to write that down. Mm-hmm. It was asked a little bit differently, but like ultimately what's something today that I can like be hypersensitive to? Hey, my phone has more of my attention. I could be using that time to even just like listen to worship music and stillness in my house or like pray. Mm-hmm. Another question is, what truly feels ultimate to me? So like that sickness thing is a good example of like, what really feels ultimate? Like what at the end of my day, I'm like, oh, that made me feel like it was such a good day. Or me talking mm-hmm. about my productivity this week, like that was such a good week. Like, yeah, maybe that's not ultimate when I look at, I want my life to look at. But to me, it's like, if I can look at the big goal of like, this is ultimately what I want my life to look like. Those little things feel like building blocks to get there for me. And those definitely can become big idols.
And again, it's hard because in this conversation, we could caveat it a bunch of different ways. Because again, we're saying that like, probably none of these things are really bad things. But if you are sitting there, you know, it's kind of like the cliche, but I feel like called into saying it. It's like the cliche of like, well, I'd be fine as long as I have my kids and I have my husband, I have a job and we have shelter.
Yeah.
And food. But I'm like, no, but what if you didn't have food? Or yeah. what if you didn't have a home? Or what if your spouse did pass away? Mm-hmm. Or what if your children got really sick and passed away? I think we have to be real in saying like, no, we are holding those things to higher importance. One of the things that I was just thinking about and just studying again in scripture, like in these areas that they're talking about why people were building idols back in biblical days and what the problem was of that. And I think Paul says like God wants our direct and wholehearted love, dependence, and attention, mm-hmm. that he is a jealous God. He's a jealous God in the way that he wants all of our attention because he knows that we are people who will easily get distracted, easily go mm-hmm. astray, and then easily be persuaded to then follow those things that are more flashy, more fun rather than him. And he's saying, no, 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 I need all of your attention. I need all of your dependence. I need you to see me as the ultimate because nothing else will fulfill, satisfy, sustain you like mm-hmm. I do.
Well,
and we find that in so many other things.
Well, I want to say this too. Like it is one of the 10 commandments that we should have no other gods before him. And I think it's been broken down clearly in scripture that that's not just talking about quote unquote, like other God figures. It's like all these mm-hmm. little things, little gods mm-hmm. in our life that rule our mm-hmm. life. And I think another reason that they had all these physical statues and idols is because God, at that point, they weren't even able to have a personal relationship with Jesus, with God, without having this like such an intense process of cleansing and basically through these priests mm-hmm. who would intercede for them. Mm-hmm. So there was no personal relationship. And so here they are worshiping this God that if we think God feels distant and we have his holy living word and we have the access to him yep. immediately through prayer and the Holy Spirit living, dwelling within us, well, for them, it was super tempting to have these like physical statues and idols because how are we not so the same? Like we don't see God working. We don't feel like it's giving us anything. Mm-hmm. So for them, it was this physical sign of like, mm-hmm. well, I can worship this because then I can say that this like good thing that happened with the rain for the crops or whatever, mm-hmm. like, oh, it's because I worship this idol. And it sounds so crazy when we think about it in that way, but it's actually how we cope with life presently. I'm like, oh, if I'm having a hard week or life feels chaotic, I can go shopping at Target and like restock all of my things. And that mm-hmm. feels like I gained back an ounce of control. Mm-hmm. That feels really good in the moment. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We want some like physical presence of feeling like we're in control, just like they did with worshiping these statues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so, so good. It's very convicting.
But I don't know. I listed out like a bunch of things that I personally struggle with that seem like bigger or small. And then like, I think just what a lot of people can put as an idol, like having a family and that being on your timeline. Like that's obviously a big thing that you have to like sort through. And with all of these things, it's hard because again, because they're not innately bad for the most part, like there is this natural like, well, it's okay to be sad that that's not happening or like okay to grieve it, but like is that becoming your obsession? Is that your ultimate mm-hmm. above knowing and loving God? Or maybe your marriage, like you look at your marriage and you're like, okay, it's just not the place I want it to be. Or I remember early in my marriage thinking and being taught like you cannot put your spouse in the place of God because mm-hmm. if you look to them to fulfill all your emotional needs, then they're going to fail. And that's only the place of God. We can do the same thing in mm-hmm. friendships. Mm-hmm. I've already talked about like
Samantha, sometimes I'm tempted to make you my ultimate.
I mean, are you joking? Because like, I don't feel like you are, but
no, I'm not joking. I am being serious actually, but I felt like it would be creepy to say.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, we do that in so many relationships, like having likability. I'll just like rattle some of these off, like yep. ourself, our security, our approval, relationships, time, success, health, wealth, food, exercise, Instagram, public persona, home feeling and being a certain way, kids, jobs, power, likability, productivity. It does not end. I've talked about organization and comfort in my home of like systems and structures comfort. Running well. Like, did I get to meal plan and like grocery order? And again, these things are not bad things. Like they're actually necessary. And like, mm-hmm. I would argue you should be having these things that be a part of your life. But like, is that what you like run and function off of? And if those things don't go well, are you then like an emotional basket case because all of your ducks were not in a row? Something else, like the last thing I'll share personally that I was thinking through that has been an idol for me is just being really vulnerable, having the thought when certain people are sharing struggles or like when I've watched people struggle with certain things, this is nasty, but like genuinely thinking to myself like, wow, I would never struggle emotionally the way that that person does. Like, wow, like I'm just so much stronger. I'm so much more mm-hmm. mentally tough. Like, I definitely think that that could be an idol in my life or has been maybe in the past of thinking like, wow, I would never be like distraught about that. Like I am mm-hmm. way past that emotionally or spiritually. That is so wrong. That is so sinful innately. But that's definitely an idol of thinking of myself as like I have this mental agility in life to like endure. And maybe mm-hmm. that is true. And I do think that's true. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of who I am. But that also can't be something I rely on to get mm-hmm. me through hard times.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to share things. It's yeah. embarrassing as we even were like preparing for this episode. I literally thought like, yeah, I listed out a lot of the things that are on your list. And I was thinking, gosh, like if I break down what an idol is for me, it's literally what do I think about more than God?
Yeah.
And literally the number one thing was myself.
Yeah.
It was just me.
Yeah.
I think about myself.
Yep.
Like I idolize myself.
How I feel,
what my family needs, what I can get done, what my time looks like. I mean, as I return to work, I literally said multiple times, like, I can't wait for the autonomy that comes mm-hmm. with working outside mm-hmm. the home. Like I can just like mm-hmm. go to the bathroom without having to worry about where my infant is, or I yeah. can go run that errand when I have childcare for my kids. Again, things that are not bad, mm-hmm. but I literally thought, wow, I am thinking about that so much.
Yeah.
And I think that is what the most convicting thing is, because I could go down this list, but I literally thought, wow, I think about myself way more than God.
Yeah.
And I think about what is good for me, what's going to make me comfortable. Comfort was on my list. And I'm like, that's super convicting mm-hmm. because I'm like, what would my life look like if I actually spent that time either praising God for who he is, thanking him for when I even think about that mm-hmm. awesome thing that he's given me. But again, I use my brain space to think about myself.
Yeah. Or even just like dwelling in his presence of like,
yep.
yeah, it's so crazy because as you were saying that, I'm like, well, duh, like we are almost praised for being a culture, a person who not only like do we already innately think about ourselves so often, but now we're actually being taught like, here's how you process and think through every little emotion. And like, you should recognize mm-hmm. this in yourself. Like everything we are taught that is kind of like proposed to us is this is going to make you a better person, mm-hmm. turns everything inward, inward. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't know yourself and be able to recognize bad. Again, we say this all the time. There's caveats to all of this. But it really is kind of wild when you think about how we live in a culture that's actually designed to make us think more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And even if they're not going to say this, then you're thinking about less about God and less about others, mm-hmm. which are actually the complete flip-flop. God says for us to think about him, think about others, and think of ourselves last. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of crazy when you think about it that way.
Opposite. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think I was sitting here, I'm like, okay, where are we even going to get to in this conversation? Because I don't want you all to be like, womp, womp. Same thing. Well, what do you want me to do? Like, what do you want me to think about? Because I mm-hmm. do have to think about myself. I do have to get myself ready for the day. I do have to get to work. I have to perform well. I have to take care of my family, all these things. But I think it also goes back to, not in a cheesy way, but I even thought, okay, we always preach all the time, like, we've got to be in God's word. We've mm-hmm. got to be spending time with him. We've got to be thinking about him first. And how do we do that? Well, then we have to put ourselves aside very first thing. And we have to say, like, God, you are better than my sleep.
Yeah.
You are better than my rest. And I'm going to rest in you. And I'm going to find my ultimate, like, ultimate satisfaction, energy, excitement for the day, love, grace for others, like all of these things in spending time with you and getting to know you more.
Yeah.
And so from the very start of our day, mm-hmm. we have to set ourselves up because we know that it is so tempting to do the otherwise. And we're all going to just do it mm-hmm. if we don't have attention and care for setting us up for success.
I think kind of leaving us with like other little practical ways of like, how can I identify them? Because it's overwhelming because you start thinking about it. And you're like, oh my gosh, I have like a million idols in my life. Or maybe you're sitting there like, wow, I don't know what my idols are. And maybe you're realizing like, oh, that's probably an issue. I think three questions, I definitely didn't come up with these somewhere in my life. I've heard these a lot of like, where does your time go? Like, look at your calendar, look at your week. And again, there's practicality. Like, obviously, if you're a working person, like you're spending most of your time at work or whatever it is. But where does your time go? Where does your money go? I've heard that be like a huge mm-hmm. indicator of like where your heart's like desires are, is like how you spend your money. And then this is something I've kind of just thought about in the last few years, is like, when you lay down at night, where do your thoughts immediately go to? Mm-hmm. Is it about your day? And like, then what about your day? Is it about your failures? Is it about worries? And like, I know for a lot of my friends who like really battle anxiety, just like hearing them talk about like how their anxious thoughts spiral, it's like, okay, what are those things that you spiral about at night? Mm-hmm. Like, when you lay your head on the pillow, what does your mind go to? And mm-hmm. I think that's really revealing of where your heart is, because we're so inundated mm-hmm. in our culture with constantly pushing those things down. But it's like, when you lay down and you are like finally setting the phone beside you and you're going to close your eyes, but then you're like woken up because mm-hmm. you have all these thoughts. Like, what are those thoughts?
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I think we have to be people who are willing to say, really, where is that for me? Like, mm-hmm. where do I find all of those things? Where do I look to for that fulfillment? And really ask yourself some of those questions, because I think those are great ones. Even maybe if you're just like, I'm clueless, I'm having a hard time, even just being willing to like ask some other people, like, what do you hear me talk mm-hmm. about a lot? What do you hear from my mouth that I'm concerned about? Because I think we have to be people who say, like, I'm going to build defenses against this temptation to think this way.
Yeah. Because ultimately, getting rid of these things, you might be asking like, well, why is that such a bad deal? If we all have things we struggle with, it's like, well, you are going to be enslaved into these things when they are idols. And there's mm-hmm. ultimately so much more freedom when you put them in their rightful place. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's the whole point of it all. So
yes. So good. It's convicting for me. So
convicting for me.
Shoot, digging in.
Hey, thanks for going there with us.
If you loved what you heard, don't forget to follow along with us at Going There, the podcast.
And it also means so much to us if you subscribe to our podcast and shared it with a friend.
Talk to you soon.